on. Let's pray unto the Lord to God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We believe you, God. Speak your word to your people tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah. First of all, reading from the 9th chapter. Then making our way to the 37th chapter of Isaiah. Along with Pastor Howard, welcome to everyone here tonight. Most importantly, welcome to the Lord. Amen. The guest of honor in every service. Amen. We are delighted to feel his presence. Feel something rolling over in my spirit tonight. And we just want to get everything God has for us tonight. Amen. God has a will for every one of us in this place. And so my focus and my desire is to see the will of God accomplished in every life. Amen. Amen. If you will make the focus tonight, your focus, the will of God in your life, amen, something good is going to happen in your life tonight. Verse number 6 of Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase, by say the increase. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is going to happen because God wants it to happen. Amen. Increase will be performed by the zeal of the Lord. Amen. Isaiah 37, beginning in verse 30. This shall be a sign unto thee. You shall eat this year such as groweth of itself. The second year that which springeth of the same. And in the third year, sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. The remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. God means business about his kingdom and about his people. Amen. I want to preach tonight, amen, from this setting of scripture on this thought, a revival of zeal. Amen. Would you lift up your hands together in this house? Pray the will of God in every life. I believe you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a door of utterance being opened. Thank you, Lord, for holy anointing. Oh, God, resting on me, Lord, as your minister, and upon this church as your people. God, I'm praying a great door and effectual to be opened.
God, in your holy and righteous name, a special anointing.
In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Please be seated. I want to not be overly obvious, but very obvious tonight, that we need a fresh understanding and a conviction that no one is more concerned about the kingdom of God and the people of God than God himself. And we know that is extremely obvious. Sometimes we allow the obvious to go unnoticed. God is very concerned about his kingdom and about his people. We read here in our scripture text from Isaiah 9 concerning this messianic prophecy. I'm glad I know who Jesus is tonight. I'm glad I know that he is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. That is not all there is to Jesus Christ. He has a kingdom. Amen. He has more than a name. He has a government. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. His throne is going to be established. It's going to be ordered in judgment and justice. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Nobody cares more about God's kingdom than God himself. Amen. In our second scripture reading tonight from Isaiah 37, this was a very difficult season in the land of Israel. Many of God's people had been shut off and cut off from their outside resources. A death sentence of sorts had been passed upon them. They had been threatened and surrounded and besieged by the enemy. And a certain declaration of their defeat had been made by that said enemy. But the Lord moved upon a man of God, and the man of God spoke on God's behalf and said, I know what the enemy says, but this is what I, as your God, have to say. The enemy says you have no hope, but I'm declaring you have more than hope. You have a promise from the Lord. You're going to eat from the fields. You're going to gather fruit from the vineyard. You are going to enjoy harvest and increase. You are going to be declared a remnant by your God. God, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. And so the kingdom of God and the people of God. Now we turn to Genesis, the first chapter. This is the very first recorded act of God that we read. It is the creation of the physical realm, the natural realm. We don't read about the zeal of the Lord in Genesis 1. It's just the natural realm. His zeal is not necessarily connected to the natural realm. It's just God's word. He said, and it was so. But when it comes to his spiritual kingdom and his selected people, it is a very different story. God is declaring through his word to his people. Amen. You can be a part of it. Amen. Or you can just hear about it. But the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. It is going to happen whether you believe it or not. It's going to happen with you or without you. If it's without you, you won't be a part of it. But somebody is going to experience a remnant of revival. Somebody is going to experience the increase of his kingdom. Amen. God says, I care too much about revival. I care too much about my kingdom. I care too much about my people to allow the enemy to have its way concerning them. Amen. So my burden tonight, amen, is a manifestation of the zeal of the Lord. Amen. Can I say a demonstration of God's zeal? Oh, my Lord. This is eating me alive tonight. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. How many besides me tonight would love to see a performance of God's zeal? God's zeal on display. Amen. What is God zealous about? He's zealous about his kingdom, and he's zealous about his people. He's zealous about revival. He's zealous about increase of his government and peace. He's zealous about the promises of God being fulfilled. He's zealous about his people performing, amen, experiencing the will of God in their life. So I've come to declare tonight we need a revival of the zeal of the Lord. I said we need a revival of the zeal of the Lord. I'm not preaching about standing back and waiting on God to roll up his sleeves and get busy. But I've come to preach tonight that you can inherit the zeal of the Lord. You can receive the zeal of the Lord. You can manifest and demonstrate the zeal of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I know I'm already into this tonight. But we are way, way too passive. And leave way too much up to God alone. I know we're people of God. I know he has all power. I know, amen, about his zeal. Amen. But in God's kingdom, he uses his people. Too many times. I refer back to this in Exodus 3 from time to time. It wasn't just God's desire manifest and at work. Amen. God's speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. Amen. It's a message of deliverance. Something's about to change. The tables are about to be turned. Bondage is about to be reversed. Amen. And God speaks to Moses. And this is what he says. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Now how many knows enough about God that God wanted him to deliver his people? There was nothing about slavery and bondage and taskmasters that was okay with God. This is how we operate sometimes. We leave everything up to God because we know he's omniscient. And we know he's omnipresent. We know he's omnipotent. He has all power. And when we think this, when God gets ready, he'll do something about it. God has always been ready. Amen. Later, a few verses later, he said to Moses, amen, I am come down to deliver them. Amen. But there is a phrase that I read in Exodus chapter 3. Between I have surely seen the affliction of my people and I am come down to deliver them. And that is simply this. And I have heard their cry. It wasn't what God saw. It was what God heard. It was what God felt from his people that initiated the display of his delivering power. I'm telling you, when you want it from about enough to open up your mouth about it, get ready because something is about to happen. Amen. I'm not sitting back on the corner somewhere feeling sorry for myself. Amen. In quiet mode, twiddling my thumbs, waiting on God. No way, Jose. What I'm doing is making my petition known. I'm lifting up my voice. I'm crying out of hunger and desire because I know it moves the heart of God. God. Amen. Read your Bible. He will anoint and use those that show genuine concern for the things of God. Amen. That's why we have heroes of faith. They didn't just sit around and wait on God. They were busy in the kingdom. They were passionate about the things of God. They were stirred up about the kingdom. Amen. They were zealous people. They were zealous about the kingdom. Yes, they knew God could do anything, but they understood this is how God chooses to operate. He doesn't work through idle people. He doesn't work through disconnected people. Oh God, amen. We need a zeal for the increase of his government, a zeal for a harvest of souls, a zeal, amen, for the manifestation of his power, a zeal for revival, a zeal for the gifts of the Spirit, a zeal for the will of God being done in this generation. Let me show you here how God feels about his kingdom. Amen. In Ezekiel, the 5th chapter, we read about the prophet Ezekiel speaking for God in a time of great compromise. God's people weren't living up, amen, to their potential. Matter of fact, they were very backslidden. And it wasn't okay with God. God wasn't looking the other way and saying, oh, well, they're just human beings. Oh, no. It's his kingdom we're talking about. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done in the past. Amen. You don't want to work against God's kingdom. It doesn't matter how instrumental you've been in the past in the increase of his kingdom. That does not give you a pass in the present to make no contribution. Amen. Therefore, verse 7 of Ezekiel 5. Thus saith the Lord God, because you multiplied more than any of the nations, because you multiplied more than the nations that are around you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I am against you. He's talking to Israelites. He's talking to one God Jews. He says, because you haven't kept your end of the deal. You haven't obeyed my word. You haven't kept my word. You've not walked in my statutes. Amen. Now God says you have a new enemy. And I will execute judgments in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. And I will do in thee. Oh my Lord, have mercy. Notice. I will do in thee that which I have not done. I'm about to do something I've never done before.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God.
Now, I want God to use his imagination when it comes to my enemies.
Amen.
But I don't want God to use his imagination in judging me.
That's right.
And God said, I'm going to do something I've never done before. He said, amen, that which I have not done, notice, and whereunto I will not do anymore the lie. I'll never do it again. I'm about to get original because of people that know better. Amen. That aren't living up to their potential. I'm not against anybody tonight. I'm for everybody. Amen. I'm for revival. I'm not preaching against you, but I am preaching against that spirit of disconnection that says I've earned my keep. I've done my part. I've fulfilled my portion. Oh, no, you haven't. Not until your life is over. But every day you live, there's something that we can do for God. Amen, amen, amen. God said, there's something I will do that I've never done, and I'll never do it again. Amen. Verse 13, they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal when I've accomplished my fury in them. It's going to happen. You're going to know that I mean business. I've spoken in my zeal. Everybody say God's zeal. Now, Isaiah the Messianic prophet. Isaiah 59. God saw that there was no man. He's looking for an intercessor, a mediator. I can't find one. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, because he couldn't find what he was looking for, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Somebody say, the arm of the Lord. We know who that is, don't we? Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. It's Jesus Christ. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Amen. Zeal is a part of the messianic garments. That passion, that purpose, that holy intention. Amen. That put my foot down and drawing the line and saying, I care too much to not let this happen. I care too much, amen, for something not to change. Amen. The zeal of the Lord is well and good. But I've come to preach tonight not about just God's zeal, but about mine and about yours. I'm not worried about God's zealousness, but I've got a burden on my heart tonight. What about the zeal of God's people? I'm convinced the creator of the kingdom desires the inhabitants of his kingdom to exhibit zeal for the kingdom. Amen. Psalm 69 and 9. Psalmist writes these words, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. I'm consumed with passion for the house of God. It is this very verse in your Bible when Jesus cleansed the temple. His disciples remember what was said. We read in John 2:17, his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Amen. Now, let me help somebody here right now. God still wants a clean house. Amen. Where there is no zeal for the house, there will be no cleansing of the house. Where there is no zeal, anything goes and everything's okay. Amen. And we contend that you can come as you are, but we contend just as strong, you don't have to leave that way. It's not okay to leave the same way you came. You can come bound. Even there's no better place to be if you're bound than to the house of the Lord. But bless your heart, it's not okay to leave bound the way you came. Amen. It was a part of the law of God. You were required by the law. If you walked in one way, you had to walk out the other. Amen. It was against the law to leave the same way you came. I'm telling you, that was a physical law, but there is a spiritual law that says it's against the law to leave the house of God the same way you came. Can anybody get zealous tonight for change? Zealous for restoration. Zealous for deliverance. Zealous for revelation. Zealous for repentance. I'm zealous tonight for somebody to be forgiven. I'm zealous tonight for somebody to be delivered. I'm zealous. I'm zealous for tears in these altars. I'm zealous for victory in your soul. I feel the zeal of the Lord. Would you lift up your hands and praise him? Come on, let's feel after the Spirit of God right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I think what God is reaching for tonight is for his people to feel about things the way he feels about them.
Why wouldn't we? Why not feel about things the way God feels about it? Why not feel about sin the way God feels about sin? Why not feel about prayer the way God feels about prayer? Why not feel about worship the way God feels about worship? Why not feel about spiritual sensitivity the way God feels about it? Why not feel about the gifts of the Spirit in operation and a move of God in the midst of His people the way God feels about it? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm telling you, His will is accomplished when His people align themselves with that said will. That's how the will of God is experienced. Oh, I feel it tonight. Oh, I want this house to be what Jesus wants it to be. There were those that took issue with Jesus that day. Who do you think you are? Turning over the tables of the money changers. Cleansing the temple. Taking the scourge in your hand. Getting irate, lifting up your voice, getting red in the face. That's not how we do things around here anymore. Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Amen. You're exercising your will and you're overriding my will. And I'm concerned about it. I'm zealous about my house being what my house was created to be. Amen. Come on, we don't need our traditions. We need His will. We don't need our desire, our carnal nature on display. We don't need to appease and pamper our flesh. Oh God. Amen. My prayer tonight. Amen. If there's cages to be loose, loosen them. If there's tables to be turned over, turn them over. Amen. If there's something needs whipped, then whip it. Amen. Is that mean? No, it's not mean. It's the zeal of the Lord. It's His house. His word. His bride, His blood, His desire. I saw a perspective this afternoon of three men that oftentimes we kind of roll our eyes and say, well, they were just a little too aggressive. Peter, James, and John. Oh, impetuous Peter. Speak first, think later. Peter. Draw his sword and take a swipe at somebody's head. Peter. I know he wasn't always acting in the will of God. James and John, sons of thunder. Somebody didn't do things the way they thought it ought to have been done. And they were ready to call fire down from heaven. I realize their aggression, their passion may have been misplaced. But read your Bible. When it's time to go higher up on the mountain, who goes higher? When it's time to go deeper into the garden. Who goes deeper into the garden? So go ahead and roll your eyes. Go ahead and say that's misplaced aggression. There's something burning in me that says when it's time to go higher, I'm in. When it's time to go further, I'm in. I'm going to see something. I'm going to see a manifestation of this power that others may not see. Amen. Maybe I'm too aggressive in your opinion. Amen. But God said I can use that aggression. I can channel that in the right direction. I can make something. Amen. I can make an apostle out of that man. I can open doors of revival with that zeal. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It was the prophet Elijah. After he called fire down from heaven, after he slew 450 prophets of Baal, after God answered by fire his prayer upon Mount Carmel, Jezebel threatened his life and he ran into seclusion. And this is what he said for himself: I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. My zeal has been on display. I've been very jealous. Same meaning as zealous. I've been full of zeal. I took a stand. I bucked the trend. I stood for God in the face of opposition. I'm going to tell you, that is what zealous people do. They're not in a popularity contest. They just want to know one thing: what does God want? I'm telling you tonight, that's all I care about. What does God want tonight? What does God want in this service? What does God want for this church? That's all that matters. Amen. What matters is the will of God. I'm telling you, God can use somebody that says all that matters is the will of God being done. There was an extending of that ministry. There was that contagiousness, if you please, of that zealousness. Amen. Because shortly after that proclamation of I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, the Lord said, I've got a job for you to do. You're not done yet. I want you to share your zeal. He said, I want you to go and I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, anointed to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, that'll be anointed to be prophet in thy room. Well, what's the big deal about that, Brother Waldrop? The very next verse. Now, before we read that next verse, what had Elisha done? He had started a revival of repentance and deliverance. He took a stand. Fire from heaven fell. Prophets of Baal lost their life, but the work was not yet completed. Verse 17 of 1 Kings 19, it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. There's still Baal worshipers to be dealt with. Amen. Man of God, you've made a good start, but the work's not done. Amen. Somebody else needs some zeal. Somebody else needs some passion. Lay your hands on somebody else so they can get involved in this revival. Lay your hands on Hazael. Lay your hands on Jehu. Lay your hands on Elisha, and I will complete and I will finish what I have started with you. Amen. It said of Jehu, as a matter of fact, he says it for himself, 2 Kings 10 and 16. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Zeal for the Lord is not just words that you speak. Zeal for the Lord is not just intentions that you declare. Zeal for the Lord is manifested. It's apparent. He said, get in this chariot, come with me, and see my zeal. I'm about to do something to prove I'm zealous for the kingdom of God. Amen. And amen. 12 verses later, Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. What was started by the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 19 was finished, I know, ultimately by God. But it does not say that God destroyed Baal. Amen. But a man that said, come see my zeal for the Lord. Jehu destroyed Baal out of Egypt, out of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you're getting this tonight. Amen. Step over that intimidation that's trying to distract you. Step over that lying spirit that says, I can't because I never have. Step over that spirit of deception that says, I don't have the right personality. I don't have the right name. I don't have the right experience. You've got what you need if you've got the right God and the right desire to please Him. Hey, man, I won't be much longer tonight, but I'm praying the title of my message tonight to be reality before we leave this house, a revival of the zeal of the Lord. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, musicians come please. He said, I had to deal with something. I was zealous. There were things going on in the church that shouldn't be going on in an apostolic church. There was sexual impurity in the church. And you were just going along with it. But Paul, between the lines of scripture, said, my zeal for God wouldn't let me keep my mouth shut, nor should it have. But as a real man of God, he took a stand and took authority over sexual impurity in the church. And he's such a man ought to be put out if he's not going to repent. Turn him over that he might come to himself. Amen. Thanks be to God that appears to be what happened. That man came to himself and repented. But that's not all that happened. It was more than just what happened to that man that got dealt with because of his sexual impurity. Paul writes to that same church that had to stand with the man of God, had to submit to a apostolic zeal for holiness. He said, for behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. It wasn't just the man, but it was all of you that were just making excuses and going along and not rocking the boat and saying it's not that big a deal. He said, I had to take authority over that spirit of deception. He said, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yes. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. The one that got put out wasn't the only one that needed to repent. But you needed to repent of your condoning of sin. Your compromise. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Not shaking in your shoes, but the fear of God. A respect and reverence for holy things. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what, and there it is, zeal. Yea, what revenge. Paul says before it was over, we were taking vengeance on our adversary. But I've come to declare, according to the word of God, there can be no revenge unless there's first zeal. Amen. Revenge happens. Amen. After zeal happens. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Would you stand tonight? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like something's about to break forth in the Spirit. Oh my God. Lift up your hands, please. Open your heart to the word of the Lord right now. Oh God. Somebody In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm not just trying to excite the excitable tonight. I'm trying to reach the heart of every child of God in this place. Amen. What about the zeal of the Lord? What about how God feels about His kingdom? What about how God feels about the world? What about how God feels about increase and harvest and miracles? What about how God feels about His people? Close with Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song in His praise in the congregation of saints. I feel like God's about to give somebody an opportunity to step into a realm of His kingdom that He wants you to dwell in. A realm of zeal, concern, passion, desire. Come on, when was the last time you prayed and you meant it? God, I want to feel the way you feel about things. I'm not God. I can't feel like, yes, you can. Because you have His Spirit. And we've received the Spirit of adoption. Amen. The Holy Ghost inside of us. Amen. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the Spirit of the one that said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. That's the Spirit of the one that moved upon the prophet and said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's the one that said, I'm zealous about increase. I'm zealous about revival. Singing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Sounds just like another praise service. But it shifts. In verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Oh, and a two-edged sword in their hand. We're going beyond shallow praise tonight. I'm telling you, something's fixing to go down in the Holy Ghost tonight. I said we're going beyond just, amen, superficial, amen, surface level situations tonight. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Do you feel it tonight? And a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance. What? To execute vengeance. Who are we talking about? The people of God, the saints, the church. 2 Corinthians, yea, what zeal? Yea, what revenge? Oh, my Lord. Somebody hear me right now. When was the last time you made the devil sorry for something he did in your life? When was the last time you made imps get together and say, we better think this through before we mess with them again? Revenge. Revenge. Why do we hang our head in defeat because everything's not going our way? Let the high praise of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen, the enemy, the adversary, and punishments upon the people to bind their kings. Come on, this is not what God is doing. This is what saints are doing. This is what worshipers and praisers are doing, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. God says, I have written judgment. I need somebody to see it through. I have written judgment. I need someone to execute. I need somebody to see it done. Your Bible, Psalm 149:9. This honor have all his saints. It's an honor to be zealous for the Lord. Amen. It's not showing out. It's not better than you. It's not look at me. It's the high praise of God in my mouth. It's a two-edged sword. I've got some business to tend to in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got something to do in the kingdom tonight. Amen. I'm saying it again. You can be a part of it or you can watch it happen. But the zeal of the Lord of hosts is about to perform something tonight. I feel it in my Holy Ghost bones tonight. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to perform a work in this house tonight. Would you lift up your voice as the saints of the Most High, as the people of God? Come on, would you enter into that place of worship? Somebody rejoice in your Creator. Be joyful in your King. Somebody praise his name. Somebody sing praises unto him. Somebody be joyful in glory. Somebody sing aloud unto the Lord. Come on, that's it in Jesus' name. Oh, if you want to help victory happen, why don't you step out of your pew and come and stand in this altar? Come and bring the high praise of God in your mouth. Come with the word of God in your heart. Come to execute vengeance and punishment. Come to bind kings and nobles. Come to execute judgment on our adversary. Come on, it's time. It's war time. Yitalabaha shaka talabaha. Yitalabaha shaka talabaha. The zeal. Come on, you stood idle too long. You let the spirits of hell run over you too long. Amen. You've taken exception to hell too long. Take a stand in Jesus' name. Put your foot down in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm zealous for God tonight. I'm zealous for miracles tonight. I'm zealous for conviction tonight. I'm zealous for increase and harvest and victory.